Have you made any New Year's resolutions? It's day 5 of the new year. Have you given up any New Year's resolutions? If so, don't feel too bad. According to research, 25% of people who make resolutions by the end of that first week, they're already done. And half of the people have fallen off by the end of the first month. So the point is, 1 week or even 1 month is likely not really going to make much of a difference. Nikki Gumbel shares that an athletic club where he is a member, that they rent a whole bunch of extra exercise equipment on January 1st. They have a surge of new members, but by the end of that first week, they haul all that equipment back because it's no longer needed. Most of the people have already quit coming. So, does anyone's life change with a week of exercise? Probably not. You know, a person needs to create a lifestyle to make it effective. But here's the part that most of us already know, that if we did do that, if we did make that a part of our lifestyle, then we would benefit from it, right? We would have more energy, we'd have stronger muscles, we'd have better balance, better health, probably reduced appetite, which would then mean that we'd probably lose a little bit of weight. That would actually help our joints and our blood sugar and our sense of well-being, our self-image. So if we want those benefits, then it takes a habitual practice, right? It requires a regular routine. It's January, day 5. How's it going? That also applies to this theme that I'm wrapping up today in this message, which is rest. So for some of you, we've been talking about rest for a while, and what you really need today is not for me to stand up here and tell you more things. You probably need some rest. So I give you permission. I've done this before. You can take some rest. If anybody needs a blanket, if you want to check out, raise your hand. Well, quietly raise your hand, and you can get some rest. No, really, seriously, sometimes the best thing we can do is get some rest. To get all the benefits of rest, it has to become part of our lifestyle. I love to hear a drum line. I saw some dancing back there. Not very restful. But, you know, when you hear that drum line, you know, when each stick hits in sync and creates that perfectly choreographed beat, it's powerful, if you've ever listened. But the line doesn't pick up their sticks and get it on the first try, right? It takes practice and a lot of it. And that's like rest in your life. I think whether you're 8 and being set with a bedtime or whether you're 80, if you're going to find that harmony of a pace of life in sync and sustainable, you have to practice with the drum line, right? You need to find your beat, and that beat includes a rhythm of rest. So we're going to review, what are the reasons for rest? Well, there's 4 of them. Restoration, revision, for reserves, and finally, resistance or resisting. So I invite you to go back and listen to the message last week, part 1, called A Sustainable Rest. And in it, you'll find the foundations for those first 2 purposes, which are restoration and reflection. So rest, it allows your body time to be restored, which is necessary for healing and recovery, and especially in an exhausting season of life. So you might think that, I don't know, I'm young enough, or I'm strong enough, or I have enough chutzpah or gumption that I can just keep going forever. But you can't run on reserves forever. Maybe you've already experienced that. If you have a young child who's not sleeping well, after day 1 and you go to work the next day, you're shot, you're tired, right? After day 2 or night 2, you go to work and you're exhausted. And at day 3, after another sleepless night, you don't know what you're going to do. You're beyond yourself. Eventually, we realize that unless we refill the tank, the reserves are going to run dry. And if we go until we have nothing left, then the time for recovery, it actually takes much longer and it is even more difficult. That is, if you can recover. It's actually dangerous to keep that constant pace of near exhaustion, because something eventually is going to give. Something is going to break, or worse, and it may not be repairable at that point. So the first purpose of rest is so important. It is restoration and healing, emotionally, physically, spiritually. The next reason for rest is revisioning. So viewing the landscape really from a balcony space is crucial. But you have to stop and take time in order to walk out on the balcony. Looking from that elevated satellite view of life, we can see where God is at work all around us. And that requires for us to stop and take time to look and gain a new vision, a new perspective. So John Dewey, an early 19th century Minnesota statesman, he said, "We do not learn from experience, we learn from reflecting on experience." We have experiences, but then we need to take time to reflect on what that meant for us. So think about your life right now. Just consider things that are going on right now. What has changed for you? I'm going to give you a moment to think about that. One thing in your life that has changed for you. Now, as you're contemplating that one thing that has changed, in light of that, what is required of you now to move forward? How has that change impacted you? How has it affected you? How has it changed things around you? You know, these are questions that you'll benefit from when you take time to reflect, but it takes a designated period of reflection and self-awareness. So ask yourself some really good questions. God, where are you working in the world? Where are you working around me? Where are you working in the church? What has changed in my life? Where are you moving? And in light of that, Lord, what do I need to change? How do I need to adjust in order to be on track with you, or to get back on track with your purpose? So that kind of good reflective work, it takes a season of respite and rest and time. So here's the question for you. Are you taking it? Are you getting rest? Are you reflecting? If you are, great. Keep that up as a pattern. If you're not, then there's only one thing to do. That is, take time. So that's a review of the first two purposes of rest. Again, I encourage you to go online to our website and look at message one, a sustainable rest. You'll find it at bethcove.org/sermons. So before I wrap up this teaching with the final two reasons for a healthy rhythm of rest, I want to kind of go back and give us one more look at a biblical foundation for rest. So although I personally was modeled healthy rest rhythms growing up, I never really got why it was more than just, you know, a good night's sleep. So what was the reason for rest? So let's put this second rest practice, this one of reflection, into practice here as we reflect on rest reasons. So this comes from Scott Hubbard. He's managing editor of Desiring God. It's a resource that began with preaching pastor John Piper. And he nails this idea of a rhythm of rest by showing us that we are actually created as creatures of rhythm. Think about the drumline. Creatures of rhythm. He shares, "In the beginning, God created rhythms. He spoke on day four, 'Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years.' So in my daily devotion, I was reading this passage, and I paused on the idea, you know, God created these lights, which are the sun and the moon in reference here, in this day of creation that marked sacred times and days and years. And that caught my attention, sacred times. Well, what's that all about? The idea here provides not just a rhythm, but a created order for created beings like us. This is for us. This is how we are made. But those rhythms aren't just for good health. They are actually sacred, which means set apart for a holy purpose. So it puts rest in a holy light. Maybe you haven't thought about it that way. You know, just to put it into perspective of the power of things, Alpha's Nicky Gumbel, again, he points out a throwaway line that he calls in Genesis. Two verses later, it says in verse 16, he also made the stars. Oh, by the way, God made the 400 billion stars in our galaxy and all the stars in the hundreds of billions and possibly trillions of galaxies. Now, just imagine the power of all that and how purposeful then it is in creation in these rhythms of life. Scott Hubbard, he writes that when Adam was created, 2 days later, he experienced those patterns of creation already established for him. Day and night, month and year, winter, spring, summer, fall. Did you notice that picture on the screen when we were singing that last song? It was kind of a snowy background with the sun low in the horizon. I could just imagine the sun dogs out there and it looked cold, wind blowing. You know, it's frigid out here. Oh, there it is, in winter. But as we look at that picture, we reflect it's a season. I mean, if that was every day in Minnesota, none of us would be here, right? Well, maybe one or two of you. It's part of that rhythm of life, and we accept it as part of who we are and where we are. When God finished creation with the seventh day, he also created a Sabbath rhythm. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested. That's important now. God rested. Yeah, you probably heard this before, but think about this. God rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. There's that sacred term again. Because on it, he rested. It's holy because that is God's pattern. That's how God created it. He rested from all his work of creating all that he had done. Genesis 2, 2 and 3. So it's easy to write this off kind of as a nice finish to the creation story. But then we would miss something extremely vital here. That we are human beings made in the image of God. And we pattern our lives after God's pattern. Hubbard's right, he said, rhythms make the world a good habitation for finite humans in need of rest and refreshment. We are creatures of rhythm. Which highlights, I think, a real caution here for us when we fall into a cadence that is out of sync with the ordered patterns of life. So there has been a culture shift, maybe a bit unnoticeable as we've distanced from some of the routines that have guided a healthy rhythm in our lives. Just some things that we have kind of in the past maybe adopted but have left us. There has been a shift. In his book, Crazy Busy, author Kevin DeYoung, he writes, our lives are getting more and more rhythmless. Rhythmless. Now think about that drum line without a rhythm. I could probably play that for you. Do you feel it around you? Everything begins to kind of run together a little bit. Sacred days have kind of lost their sense of meaning or importance. As one writer said, the faucet is a constant drip, 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 drip. So how can we reclaim that life rhythm that we are designed for? In order so that we can flourish. Well, in Exodus, God sets out to give the Hebrews a return to their Sabbath rest. In Egypt, the Israelites were slaves to Pharaoh. In Exodus 1, it says that Egypt put slave masters over them, over the Israelites, to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. So as slaves in forced labor, how many vacation days do you think they had? None, right? How many rest days in the week did they have? None. Their lives were a constant backbreaking day after constant backbreaking day of harsh labor, no rest until they died. So then God came to Moses to bring them out of captivity, out of that restless life, and back into the sacred rhythms that they were created for. And this rescue is called the Exodus. So today, when we think about our work from home abilities and the wonders of high-speed Wi-Fi and unlimited phone data plans, we never have to disconnect. Which means We never disconnect. Recognize it or not, it's adding to that blurring of sacred rhythms as they get disrupted and co-opted to the urgent distractions that we are attached to. So Hubbard, he captures, I think, where too many of us are landing in our post-exhausted lives. He says, such is the rhythmless life, a life with no square on the calendar labeled rest. Do you have a square on your calendar that says rest? Are you tired? Are you beyond tired? Are you worn out? Are you exhausted? Do you want a break, or do you actually need a break? Some of us, what's really needed is a new exodus. For Israel, God reinstituted a 6-1 pattern for their exhausted lives, and it's the Sabbath rhythm from Exodus 20, where God says, you shall not work. Say not. You shall not work. Instead, you shall enjoy some of Eden again and get some rest. Exodus 20, verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Again, there's that sacred term. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not, say not, do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner living in your towns. In other words, this is for everybody. This is communal. For in 6 days, say 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth and sea and all the men, but he rested on the seventh day. Say seventh. So there's a 6-1 pattern, right? 6 days of labor, 1 day of rest. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it sacred, made it holy. So the whole community are recipients then of this 6-1 Sabbath pattern, this rhythm of rest. And in the New Testament, Jesus reminded his listeners, this rest isn't for God. Interesting. He said the Sabbath, the seventh day, was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So this 6-1 pattern is for you. It is created for you. God created the earth and all its rhythm for you as a benefit. In our bathroom at home, we have 3 scales. They're mine. My health plan has an option to participate in a healthy lifestyle, and the benefit provides a scale that connects to an app to track my weight. And the first time I signed up, I got a free scale, right? The second time I signed up, I got a free scale. Now they're offering me to sign up and get a, guess what? Free scale. I'm going to try to get 6, and then I'm going to rest on the 7th. Not that I'm advocating everybody has a backup scale in their bathroom. The point is that Sabbath is a rhythm that offers you a benefit every time you practice it. So it's a 6-1 gift that you are being offered. The invitation is there. So yes, take the invitation. We've been on this rest topic really for 6 weeks. And if you still find yourself in need of rest, take advantage. It's a benefit for you. So the third purpose of rest, getting back, is actually pretty intuitive. It's this idea of banking energy in order to move forward. So building rest reserves. When you're tired, right, you need rest. But after you've had a little rest, then you get this second wind, you know, this, I feel good, I'm ready to go again. And that's the temptation, is that I've had enough rest, now I can go double speed to catch up on what I missed when I was resting. The problem is, you haven't built up a reserve. You know, when I was wrestling in high school, yes, in my famous days, I could last the first period on the floor without much trouble, you know, take a little break to get reset, get rested, catch my breath, and I'm ready to go. When the whistle blew, off again. And usually, That worked pretty good till about the middle of the second period. Then I was getting more exhausted. And then by the end of that period, I was out of breath and fatigued. And the time that it took to reset, even if I dragged along, it wasn't enough to regain my rest. So by the end of the third period, I was completely exhausted, if I lasted, completely shot. And it took a lot of time in order to recuperate and recover. It's the same when you're exhausted. You have a physical tiredness, but it also affects our mental state, this spiritual exhaustion that simply takes time to catch up and get back. But catching up doesn't necessarily build reserves. If we go back full speed, we have an exhaustion relapse pretty quickly. And if it's not physically, then often it's spiritually. And that shows up in our lack of spiritual passion. Why don't I have that desire, that passion anymore? Well, have you ever asked yourself, am I getting enough rest? Am I reflecting? Am I renewing? Am I building reserves? Or am I running on empty? So building reserves, it takes practice. We need to practice resting as a lifestyle in order to build reserves for the future. So this idea of banking rest has a lot in common with the first point of bringing restoration. Even reserve rest is the work of God through which the Holy Spirit, speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, said, the Lord said, "But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds," declares the Lord. The psalmist in 51, he pleads for God's support. He says, "Restore me." He's speaking to the Lord. "Lord, restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." This idea of sustain is to support or hold up or keep going. The psalmist knows that he can't do this on his own. He needs God's help to uphold and sustain even a willing heart to move forward. He needs a bank of reserves that comes from outside of himself. I think that's important to understand. It's not going to come from our own chutzpah. It's going to come from outside of ourselves. And that's different than just getting sleep to catch up. It speaks of this deepening relationship that supports you beyond your own power. Now, the body is an amazing instrument. It truly is. God has created us with wonder, but it's not designed to function without rest. And neither is your soul. You need both physical and soul rest. The Apostle Peter, he speaks of being built up with a spiritual reserve strength that is beyond himself. In 1 Peter 5:10, he says, "After you have suffered a little while," now obviously this is trials that they are going through, deep trials in 1 Peter, but they have had a depleting effect. "So the God of all grace, after you have suffered a little while, who has called you to his eternal glory, will himself," say himself, "God himself will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Again, this is God's work in your life. So after a period of depletion, the apostle encourages his listeners to trust that the Lord himself will restore and establish and build reserves for your walk with Jesus in this life and in the life to come. So where do you start? Where do you start all this? Well, I think a good place to start is what you are doing right here, right now. A 6-1 practice. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. Slow down. Practice the rhythm of rest and live into the pattern of the world's first week. So I invited Rick Sando to come forward and share his journey of this idea of a Sabbath rest, of a 6-1 practice.
Yeah, so the practice of the Sabbath rest. I guess I'd have to start as a child growing up on a farm. I saw it modeled by my parents. Typical Sunday was Sunday morning church. That was non-negotiable. That was just the way it was. And then there was the afternoon, and most time that was spent, we visited other family members or cousins and stuff like that. But we had livestock, and so there was chores that needed to be done. And also, there were no businesses open, so there wasn't this drive to continue working and doing things like that. However, there was those instances during springtime and harvest, of course, and putting up hay when there was rain was imminent, that we had to do that. But I could see that it was, my dad made those decisions, and they weren't made lightly, and that was very obvious. So, fast-forwarding 40 years, and here I am. And what I learned is that this practice of Sabbath rest, church Sunday morning, is non-negotiable. That's just the way it is, okay? The challenge not to work on Sunday, I think, because there's this cultural shift to where businesses are open, and there's almost, we've lost a sacred part of Sunday. And so it's a little more of a challenge not to be engaged, especially in spring and fall, being a farmer in harvest, when everybody else is going. It's difficult to do that. And however, we've maintained that, and sometimes we've had to. We still make some of those tough decisions. But, you know, we are not under condemnation. We're under the new law, the grace of God. And so we move on. But, and it would be nice if I could stand here and tell you that by not taking, or by taking Sunday off in the middle of a harvest, that I am well rested, we have no machinery breakdowns, and I get along with everybody. But that's just not true. I mean, sometimes that happens, great, but the opposite does happen too. So it's kind of like, well, what's the point of Sabbath rest? And for me, I have to take it to the next level of faith, because I don't fully understand all the benefits of rest. And I think there's a whole spiritual element. There's a lot of things going on in the spirit that we don't see. And even if we were told it, we wouldn't understand it. And so this is where I have to land in this whole Sabbath rest thing, is a God that created me understands me and has my best interest in mind. So if he says to take a Sabbath rest, that's what I need to do. So God said it, I believe it, and that's good enough for me.
Thank you, Rick. So I think Rick made the comment, we're not bound under the Old Testament covenant. You know, Christ has fulfilled it. And yet, it still provides for us this model of being fully human in God's creation. So rest is God's plan for you. So I encourage you to reclaim it and begin slowing down in order to bank your energy reserves. And then the last purpose for rest is to resist the temptation, really the temptation to go it alone. The temptation, once you get a little rest, is to push ahead at double speed, catch up. But the pattern of creation says that's not how it works. You need boundaries for rest. Right? Kids need a bedtime. The more routine, the more better. When a pattern is established, it becomes normal and natural in order to follow that routine. So in Exodus, God said, 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest, you shall rest. It's easy to rest when it's not busy and when there's not a whole lot of pressures in life that we need to attend to. Israel needed boundaries, just like we do, around their rest. And God was saying to them, even in the midst of your busiest seasons, you can trust me and get some rest. I think at the heart of that need for rest is trusting that God will provide for you when it seems like everything depends on you. I think the psalmist in 4:8, kind of our memory verse for this series, really did figure it out. He could rest because he trusted completely in the one who created us and created the rhythms of life. In peace, I will lay down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Do you have rest boundaries? I encourage you to set them. Practice them. And remember, you're not under the law. If something comes up, you have to change that. You know, you can make an exception. Just don't make the exceptions become the rule, because your rest is your responsibility. And if you really are looking to be refreshed in this 6-1 Sabbath rhythm, don't just take the day off. Take the day to worship. Scott Hubbard shares the source of true rest, saying, ultimately, rest flows not from a weekly pause, but from a person. That person is Jesus, who said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus himself, in a relationship, will give you rest. Jesus isn't looking for workers. He's not asking to deplete you. He's looking for worshipers to restore you to the joy of your salvation. And he calls you back to that rhythm of the Garden of Eden through a relationship with him. Jesus says, I will give you rest. My encouragement, take him up on it. Let us pray.